God bless the internet.
This week on The Bounce Show, it is a huge rugby show with Harry Jones. You have to watch it. It is one of the best.
Did you set this up with James while I was not here?
No, but you really have to watch the show this
week.
Yeah,
it's very good. I saw a clip in your promo where he basically lays out the reasons that the Springboks didn't fucking win.
Super great guy, super interesting look. He's actually a lawyer by trade. He's like a fixer.
Oh.
He helps people in like Nicaraguan gold mines and dead hookers in New York City.
Wow.
He just loves rugby. So that's why we had him on.
Huh. Okay, that sounds fascinating.
Lots of good guests.
Make sure we watch it. There we go, on the bounce. Okay, so we've been playing around with this idea for ages and ages. So I eventually went to the shops and I wrote this shit down. Yeah, we've been talking about the price of things. Let's see how close you get it.
Oh, wasn't James going to do that?
No, I've done it. So how much is a bread, guys? How much do you think a just a normal white Sasko loaf?
Normal white Sasko. Okay, I know.
What do you say?
15 rand.
Flex, what do you say?
$18.99.
James, how much would you pay for a loaf of Sasko? Okay, James is the closest. It's just under 20 rand. So it's $19.99, somewhere around there.
I'm pretty sure I went to Checkers.
Maybe you have a cheaper supplier, but it's somewhere. Look, we're all in the ballpark here.
Okay.
18, 19, 20 rand.
Well, no, I mean, my 15 is a bit different.
You're obviously a very, very good bread at very cheap prices. I don't know. Maybe yours is being, I don't know, watered down or so, whatever they do to bread. So that's how much a loaf of bread costs. How much is 2 liters of milk?
It's 24 rand.
24, says Ben. Flex, also 24. James, you're all way under. It's about 37 rand.
37 rand for that?
If you buy actual milk, not the oily shit that,
Actually, you know what? Fair. No.
37 rand for fresh 2 liter milk.
I don't buy that, yeah. But, yeah.
That's expensive.
Yeah.
12 eggs? A dozen eggs? How much?
I should know this. I buy eggs all the time. 60 rand? No, wait. I buy in 24s.
Okay, well, while you figure out what Ben does, 40. Show us your work. Get out a pen and paper and write it down.
Are we talking like
ordinary
eggs?
Yeah, ordinary eggs.
Stinky eggs or free range?
No, call it free range. It's somewhere in a ballpark. You said 40 rand. That's fine.
Okay, 40.
Flex? 45. James?
I never buy eggs.
You never buy eggs. So you just don't worry.
Flex, you've got to eat eggs, man.
So you know what? You're both around the ballpark area. 40 rand is what a dozen eggs cost me. Yeah. 230 gram block of cheese, cheddar cheese.
230 grams. Interesting weight.
That's how much it was.
It's 40 rand.
Okay. What do you say, Flex? Cheese? It's actually 70 rand.
Wow.
For 230 grams of cheddar cheese. So obviously, look, you're going to have variations in price. But I thought it's probably about time we looked at this stuff because, you know, they do these indices all over the world of if you, and there's often sayings that people come up with. For example, if you've got cheese in the fridge, then you are probably doing okay. You're not on the bones of your ass.
Right. I have feta in the fridge so basically just massively flexing.
Oh, you are rich beyond all measure. You're King Midas.
You know, Gareth, I know you don't want to get told how to do your show, but I think for future, visuals of the things we speak about would be really helpful.
Yeah. I did this yesterday, and I thought it would be interesting to look at these things. You don't think so?
No, I do.
Do you want to see a fucking cheese? You don't know what it looks like?
This was my fucking idea from 2 months ago.
So you don't know what a 2 liter milk looks like, so you need to see the picture?
It's called having texture to your story. This was my idea like months ago, which then James said he was going to do.
And how long have we been talking about this? It's like the Mahosha. Sometimes you just got to make it happen.
I'm seeing a common denominator here, though.
I'm about 5 minutes away from just going down Oxford Road and getting our Mahosha myself, okay? All right, let's talk about this. This is quite a big deal.
So we're done with sports, huh?
Well, have you finished? Because you said you still live golf, you've got to tell us about.
I wasn't even halfway through. There's MTN 8 semi-finals. There is the English Premier League, second week.
Okay.
Man United are going to lose to Fulham, and then they're 2-2. So, I mean, no, look, I won't get into it.
No, I want to hear.
There is a hell of a lot going on. And the Proteas are taking on Australia today. They're playing in Mackay?
Where's that?
So they basically, this whole cricket tour now is like a jewel in Queensland. They were in Cairns. Previously, they were up north in Darwin. And then all this like they're in the Great Barrier Reef and they're playing a bit of cricket on the side. So it's the ODI series. They hammered them in the first game. Second game's now. Third game is on Sunday. But yo, MTN8 semi-finals, Sundowns Pirates. It's 1-1. Second leg, of course. This is the big decider. Look, I mean, there is this, the LIV Golf Team Championship, which is quite something. Tour Championships of PGA Tour. It's like the best 30 players come together. So we actually got a really cool weekend.
Okay.
Not only are we bouncing back with like a lot of chaos, but there's a lot of good sport on this weekend.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I just wanted people to know that.
This is very important. And I like the way you used the term bouncing back.
Hugely.
On the bounce is the show. You know, you think these things through. I should have made you the producer. You would have brought me visuals from milk and cheese because people don't know what cheese looks like.
Yeah.
All right. I do want to get into something else here. Apparently, Prince Andrew, there's a book on Prince Andrew coming.
It's like the fall of the House of York or something.
Who's looking for a book on Prince Andrew?
Not, well.
Who wants this?
And you know what Prince Andrew probably, like, there is no PR in the world that's going to make people like him.
No.
He's a nonce.
Fergie could write this. And she could write in glowing terms about how wonderful he is. It could be written by his daughters.
Yeah.
And no one would want it. No one's interested.
He's a nonce, and that's pretty much where it ends. But so he's written this book. Well, his book has been written.
Yeah, so he's obviously not writing it.
And the big controversy about this book isn't that he was noncing. It's that he wants it to be retracted, that he suggested that, what's his name?
Donald and Melania met through Epstein.
Epstein introduced them.
Yeah, this is also Melania is suing
Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden over exactly the same thing because she said, no, I did not meet Donald through Epstein. And apparently they didn't meet through Epstein.
Well,
so she's suing him for $1 billion. That's how much she's suing Hunter Biden.
To which Hunter Biden says, no fucking chance or something along those lines.
Hunter Biden has no money anyway. He's like barely got enough to keep his drug habit alive. And he was selling paintings to people who wanted to impress his father when his father was president. Of course, Joe didn't know he was president, but Hunter did, so he was selling the paintings. Now, he might have to pay Melania. I mean, it's not going to be $1 billion, but whatever it is. She's not going soft on him. She's like, screw you, man. Who you think you are?
Yeah, it's quite...
I take you down, bitch.
It's quite funny because Hunter Biden, of course, is a disaster. Oh, Prince Andrew, obviously a disaster.
Yeah.
And they're having but this whole thing of like, does it matter how they met?
Well,
if Melania was 16...
Okay, Ben, let's say you were about to get married like James, okay? You were with the love of your life.
Okay.
And it just looked ideal, and everyone is very happy for you. And we're all super excited. You're planning the wedding. It's just amazing. This is like the romantic story of the century.
Great. I'm all for it.
It's great. And everybody's totally on board with it. And then we find out that you two met on Epstein's plane or on his island, or Jeffrey Epstein introduced you to each other. It muddies everything. It soils the relationship.
Yes, of course. But if she, like when they met, she wasn't underage or anything like that.
No, but still, if Epstein is, anywhere you put Epstein, it all just goes tits up. It's not good.
Yeah, see,
he really poisons the well.
I'm at the stage of the story where I just know all these people were friends with him anyway. So it's like, who are you trying to kid?
It's interesting, Donald Trump, because a lot of people are saying, well, the Epstein list isn't being released because Trump doesn't want it to come out because he's on the list. And like, we already know that Donald Trump and Epstein were at parties together.
Sure.
We already know that he was, Donald Trump banished him from Mar-a-Lago. Which kind of makes Trump look good, you know, and that was before he was accused of all the crimes and convicted. So I don't think Donald Trump... Also, let me ask you this. Two quick things for the people who really hate Trump and think that I'm just covering for him. Number one, do you think that under the Biden administration, when they had control of the FBI, the CIA, the prosecutors, it was all done in New York, which is a hugely Democratic blue state anyway. You really think if they had anything on Trump, they wouldn't have used it then?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that whatever people think it is. It's not about like there's more layers of Trump dirtiness to dig into. That's the first thing. The second thing is Trump is probably the most famous man in the whole world. And he's probably
been for a while.
He's probably the most photographed, most investigated, most well-known person on planet Earth right now. I don't think that if there are any secrets, they can possibly still be hidden out there. It's just not possible. Mm. This guy has been, we know everything. We know the grab it by the pussy. We know everything. There's nothing left. And if you're still digging there, I'm afraid that this is just it's a mine without gold. This dog just doesn't hunt. Does the book, says Carl, good question, does the book include pictures of all his victims? Not asking for perverted reasons, just trying to understand if there might be a subset of people who actually buy this book.
Yeah.
You know, like the true crime kind of people.
Yeah.
They want to know who was there.
It's probably like, it's just sort of this boring royal books about, you know, and this was the protocol, and it was so difficult to live up to my father's expectations, what.
And doing trade visits to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody cares.
And then I found my niche, underage girls.
Well, Hugh says he'll buy the book. He says it's a good book, Gareth. A peek behind the royal curtain. I don't know if we need to be peeking behind that royal curtain anymore. Like,
we watched The Crown on Netflix. I think there was a decent enough peek there. It was very well done.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't find these people that interesting. They're just not. Prince Andrew is a nonce. Prince Philip
was great. He was truly
great. That's where it ended.
Yeah.
Everyone, so I'm just trying to think. Prince Philip is where it ended. Everyone from there has been a massive disappointment. I mean, Harry, come on. There's no.
Total disaster. It's gone downhill. The only person who can rescue it, if you ask me, is Kate. Kate Middleton.
She can't rescue it because, I mean...
No, she's going to. Ben, I hold out hope every day. Okay, so Pumlani says, Supreme Leader Trump does no wrong. Okay, haven't we heard it all about this guy? Really?
Yeah, we have. And the thing, that we forget is that Donald was very popular and he was an absolute icon and he jawled with everybody.
And he was a coxman.
Hugely.
He was getting laid left, right, and center. He was like that Molly woman you were telling us about, except in reverse. He wasn't dying and he was the man.
If you go back into the 90s, there was an episode of Sex and the City where they talk about Donald in a certain tone of like, he is the guy you want to be around because he had all the things back then that meant a lot. It was the powers, the influence, it was the network.
Yeah, right.
And it was a kind of celebrity before celebrity became really valuable. And that's what his life was. So everyone wanted to be friends with him. He was always associated with everybody, and that was his life.
Sure. I wonder if Hunter and Melania end up in court. I mean, that'll be a funny story.
That'll be hilarious.
That really will be
because
funny.
Because Hunter will just go down swinging because he's a degenerate.
Hunter still owes his dealer money, says Vyasa.
Yeah.
Rebellious Ruth says, ugh, creep. Which one? Because we had quite a few creeps there. We had Prince Andrew. We had Epstein. We had Trump while he was in the... I mean, did you see him in the 80s and the 90s? There's those videos that are going around of him like partying in clubs, dancing very...
Yeah.
He dances better now. Did
you see the video of him playing volleyball?
And his hair is like,
so bad. It's so bad. I mean, he was on WWE. Like,
yeah. No, but if I look at any picture or video of myself from a year ago, I cringe. Can you imagine if you've been in the news like Donald Trump has for like six decades? He was famous when, Club Studio 54 was around. He was like there in the 70s.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. The National Dialogue. So someone brought up the National Dialogue in the comments here. I have not paid any attention to the National Dialogue. Apparently, Cyril and some eminent persons got together and they started the National Dialogue last week. And it's already just a shit show. People are shouting at each other, storming out, tantrums. People, it's like Roodepoort High School, really.
Just without the knives, yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. There might be knives. We just haven't seen them yet. But someone watch the news for us, and you can repeat to all the people on the show next week what happened. I am not going to watch the National Dialogue. I'm not. I don't have a terminal disease, but that's something for sure I'm not going to waste time on.
Yeah,
absolute waste of time.
I don't see the point.
Trump was like Bruce Wayne with the Victoria's Secret models on a private yacht, but his Alfred's name was Jeff, says Slippery Pickle.
Interesting. I like what you've done there.
Yeah, very good. Rebellious Ruth says, I'm also keen to know or have her come back perhaps a bit. So this is about the woman who was on Epstein's plane.
Yes, we saw him shapeshift.
Yeah. Yeah. She said she saw him shapeshift. It was a wild interview.
It really was.
Speaking of those, we're going to be continuing some wild interviews. I mean, I'm lining up a couple of people who we're going to have on the show. There'll be an interview show which is separate to this show, and that'll be whenever I get to. It's only going to be with people who are really worth talking to, so stick around for that. Okay, speaking about Epstein Island, the other thing that people sometimes very rarely escape from is Scientology. You know about this.
Yeah.
So there was a guy who fled Scientology after 30 years in the church. He claims it's no path to enlightenment. It is the failed brainchild of a troubled sci-fi writer. Well, if this is news to you, you haven't been paying attention to Scientology, and who knows, maybe to you Scientology is just nonsense, so you don't pay attention to it. But L. Ron Hubbard, the guy who wrote the novels, paperback novels, right, about Lord Xenu and a planet called, I can't even remember what it's called, that's the planet you go to once you get rid of the engrams and all that. Like, this guy wrote this stuff down. In a letter to a friend, he basically said, I can't believe I'm getting away with this shit. Can't believe people are taking me seriously. So he spun his own mental struggles into Dianetics, which is what they use as the science part of Scientology. Now, I love the way they've co-opted that the science word into the title of their religion.
Yeah, brazen.
The name of their religion. Brazen as hell, right? That's like calling yourself Honest Jim's Secondhand Car Sales.
Well, it's like honorable members, politicians.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I suppose if you call it that long enough, some people will believe you. According to this guy who left Scientology after 30 years, he says the church's deepest secrets involve charging followers hundreds of thousands of dollars to rid themselves of the traumatized alien souls supposedly blown up in volcanoes 75 million years ago. A far cry from the polished story that Scientology sells the world. So there are churches of Scientology all over the world. Obviously, the biggest ones are in America. Famous members include John Travolta, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, how they managed to get Tom? Because Tom was
Tom,
like...
Tom is a good catch for
Tom
them.
Tom was their marketing.
Yeah. And look, he disgraced himself when he jumped on Oprah's sofa and proposed to Nicole Kidman or Katie Holmes or whoever it was that he was married to at the time. Just a mess. Like, a total mess. But Tom Cruise, good marketing guy for them. And he's still doing movies. Mission
still
Impossible
yeah.
246 is coming out, what, next week?
Great hair.
Great hair? Yeah, he's in shape. He's, what, almost 65 years old?
Something yeah, and like legitimately does his own stunts.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Legitimately does
like
his own
him.
Stunts.
South Africa has been named one of the worst countries to drive in. Are you surprised?
Not at all.
No. Mash, maybe this is where you should join in. South Africa's... Oh, you walk. Just walk anywhere you want. Go. Anyway. Yeah, go. Right. There he is.
That's a Mash.
That's a nice shirt, Mash.
Thank you.
A lot of people were asking about your ass earlier. And we're going to talk about Ozempic ass, because apparently that's a real thing.
Oh, that's definitely a real thing.
But I want to tell you about this, because you've just been in the traffic. South Africa's been ranked the fourth worst country in the world to drive in, according to a new global index by Compare the Market. The study cited the nation's alarming road death rate of 17.9 per 100,000 people.
Hey, boy, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot. Yeah. Especially Easter is not good.
Yeah, Easter's terrible.
Yeah. I actually installed a dash cam on my car.
Like those Russians.
Yes.
Yeah, because the Russians will have to have a dash cam.
Simply because I have seen so much kak. I go to work 5 days a week, Gareth, and in those 5 days, I see a lot of crazy shit. We see heads roll, we see taxis flip, we see cars just drive off the road and vanish. All kinds of stuff like that. So
my
I was like,
favorite is people who just stop. They put on their hazards and they just stop.
Yeah. They just
stop. In the middle of the road, middle lane of the highway, wherever they want to. They just put on the hazards and now everyone else has to make it work.
Gareth, I remember you've said this before. You said if you ever feel unimportant, just stop in traffic.
Yeah.
It'll remind you that you actually matter to people.
You really matter. And people will fucking let you know, let me tell you. They'll get on those hooters.
Yeah.
All right. So we're the fourth worst country in the world to drive in.
Okay.
Apparently, we've got high congestion levels, only mid-range road quality. I think we have low-range road quality. Key factors for dragging it down.
Yeah.
Despite average speed limits and a relatively low legal alcohol limit. Apparently, Thailand, Argentina, and Indonesia are worse than us.
Wow.
Thailand, what? Argentina, and Indonesia.
Yeah, Thailand, like the roads are quite shite there.
I've never been to any of those countries.
Hey, bro.
So I can't comment.
Argentina's a bit of a shock, but yeah.
I would have thought Nigeria would have made it.
I thought India with their whole belief in reincarnation, the way they drive.
Oh, yeah, Bangladesh. Bangladesh and all their trash. They barely have roads. It's just trash everywhere.
It's just trash.
They just drive on the trash.
Trash, guys making poos, and cattle. That, to me, is a surefire way of making driving difficult.
Poo street food. Make it very difficult.
But they do poo everywhere in Bangladesh as well, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. That's terrific.
Oh, I'm going
to
be cancelled.
All right, so I'm trying to think, if South Africa is the fourth worst place, which place in South Africa is the worst when
Eastern
it comes to driving?
Eastern Cape, parts of Limpopo, I think.
So, Gareth, I went to PE for the first time last week. And first of all, PE is kind of nice.
Okay.
PE is really, really nice. It's not that shitty. It's like a budget Cape Town. You can go there and just...
Nicest thing anyone has ever said. ever said about PE.
Budget Cape Town.
Yes. Yeah. So I went there and I was going out. I was Ubering left and right. But everything is so cheap there. The Ubers are cheap there. My Uber from the hotel to the airport was like 60 Rand. And I thought to myself, damn, everything, all my Ubering, all my expenses, I was going out for dinners. I was living it up.
Half an hour in Cape Town, right?
Yeah. But
and
also
you got the
budget,
whole weekend there.
Budget-wise.
Yeah.
Like 3 days, up and down, eating, restaurants, you know, everything, shebangs.
But can you go to the beach or is that just you get stabbed?
I didn't go to the beach. Yeah. They told me I'll get stabbed.
See? That wasn't rehearsed. That was an honest question.
Okay, wow. So you had a very good time in PE.
I had a really good time. All my expenses put together weren't even 1,000 Rand.
The quality of the people?
The people were great.
Yeah.
Very good people. You know, the people at the hotel.
Sure.
They were very good.
You didn't leave the hotel, really?
No, I just went to the gym, went to the restaurants. Yeah, that's about it. I didn't actually go and like
interact. Oh, so you didn't like explore PE properly?
I didn't. I don't think I did. Because I went to restaurants and stuff, but they were so empty.
Would you go again?
I would definitely not go again. No.
Not go again. Once is enough.
Once is enough. I've experienced it.
Okay.
And as much as it's a budget
Cape Town. So what started off sounding quite complimentary is soured very quickly with you, Mash. People in PE were super excited there. They're like, finally, someone who really understands us, who's got nice things to say, and enough with this Gareth and his negativity about the Eastern Cape and saying shit things, and Ben saying you're going to get stabbed on the beach. Finally, Mash is going to say something nice. And then what do you say? You say you won't go there again.
Yeah, but it's kind of like Bulgaria. We had a great time there, but we won't go again.
Plovdiv.
I kind of want to go back to Plovdiv just have a look. There are places
I don't need to go back there.
There are places you can enjoy it, but you don't have to go back to.
Right, so you are going to say compliments all around. Yes. Well done, PE.
Yeah.
I'm not in a hurry to come back, but thanks. I had a great time.
As much as it's a budget Cape Town, it's not. It doesn't give you the Cape Town experience.
Yeah. See, ultimately, you always get what you pay for in life.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
the thing.
But I did ask, where are the worst drivers in South Africa?
Catherine Street's fucking Johannesburg.
Oh, yes.
Guys, because you know they made that stupid virtue signaling bus lane, which no one uses.
Yes, and I saw the Metro Police were pulling people over.
I saw that too this week.
But you see, the Metro Police, they smell a new place to trap people, and they are there like fucking white on rice.
And then
they can't help themselves.
And there's always a flood because in Joburg, basically, water pipes break every day.
Yes.
We don't have a water shortage. We have pipes don't work.
Yeah,
surplus.
90% of the time, sure.
So you've got a river running through this place most days, and then you've got the super bus lane, which means everyone is now in traffic.
and people are squeezed into two lanes where they would have had three before, and nobody knows what a bus lane is in Joburg.
Well, there's no buses.
Joburg does not have a system. People are asking themselves, I'm sure we all do, right? How many people do I need in my car to be able to go into the bus lane? Or is it only taxis
and
buses?
You have to be a bus.
No taxis?
Well, yeah, I get taxis.
Like, what are the rules? Nobody knows. They don't do this when you do your driver's license or your learner's license. They don't teach you this shit. Mm. So in other words, those metro cops who we all hate, right? They make the rules up any way they want to. Yeah. They go, oh, well, you're not a taxi. You don't have a wheelchair sign on your windscreen. You have three people in, but you need four. They can change the rules and you don't know.
Yeah.
Does anyone know? James Flex, do you guys know what the rules are for a bus lane?
Because there's a sign that says a bus on it, I'm going to go with just buses.
Just buses. Yeah. That's what you reckon it is. So in other words, you can never use that lane.
No.
But I've never seen buses.
No.
No, and then they made those rear via little station thingies.
Yeah.
Also,
they've never worked.
They've never opened.
No.
Yeah, most of them have never opened in Sandton.
So what's the point? Why did they fuck up Catherine Street?
See, now that wouldn't happen in the Sandton of the future we got there.
Yeah, you see, that's why we've got the Sandton of the future behind us. Isn't that nice, Mash?
Oh, I love it.
You like it, huh?
Yes, very modern.
All right. speaking of the future, I'm going to get going.
All right, Ben.
It's quite late.
I've got lots to talk to Mash about.
I know. I was going to ask for where did you get your shirt?
Yeah, it's a good Sheen. Shirt.
That was like $50.
Very good shirt. It looks terrific.
It's great colors on you, but also just a great shirt. It's like a SpongeBob was French and arty.
Have you seen how he's been gymming? He's lost all this weight.
Yeah.
He's taking all of that shit super seriously.
Oh, yeah. I'm creatining. Yeah. I'm everything.
There we go.
We've been. This is hot. There's certain ways to live. Don't fight it.
This is the way. All right. Thank you, Ben. Cheers.
Cheers, Ben.
There's Ben slinking off into the distance. So, Mash, you look terrific today.
Yo, I had to, Gareth,
Are people still saying to you that you're on Ozempic just because you're working out and everything? Because you were very insulted by this.
I was initially, but now I consider it a compliment. If you think about it, if people come up to you and they say, wait, you were fat just yesterday and now you are this, you must have done something.
Well,
I take it as a compliment.
I have a point of view on Ozempic. It's taken me a long time to think about this.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Why?
I think it is a terrible thing. I don't like it. It's taken me a long time to not be fat. And not that I was ever hugely morbidly obese, but it's work, right?
Mm.
And when I get on the scale and I realize that I've lost some weight, I'm proud of myself. I've had to work for it. Had to eat less and run more. And all these fat bastards who are taking Ozempic and suddenly they're losing the weight. They haven't earned it. They're just on a drug. I hate it. It makes me miserable. I want them to have side effects. I want them to develop terrible eye problems and ass problems.
Ozempic bites.
I want them to have all of those problems. I am against Ozempic. I want anyone who's on Ozempic to develop awful side effects. That's my point of view.
Yo, Gareth, and they do, unfortunately.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh, this is great news. Tell me more.
Gareth, I wasn't on Ozempic, but I was on Really Slim, which is another appetite suppressant drug.
Okay.
So
when was this?
I was on it the whole of last year. This Really Slim.
So you lied to us when we said we were talking about this.
No, I never lied. It's on my TikTok. I put it out there and I confessed to everybody. Okay. Everybody in the comments called me a liar.
I don't remember
this.
I thought you were saying you were never on any of these. It was pure exercise, gym, eating right.
Yes. So it's just the pills were a tool for me. I didn't consider them the end result, some people do, you know? So because I considered them the tool, I knew that I had to work out.
Sure.
But in my working out, I focused more on cardio, so I wasn't doing any other exercises. And it was too late once I realized that, oh, damn, because I lost my ass. I was completely flat.
So Ozempic takes away your ass?
Ozempic, all these appetite-suppressing drugs that make you lose weight drastically.
So when I see those old men in the gym who've got those saggy asses that actually go in, they don't go out. Like an ass should stick out a little bit, right? And I see their asses go. That's an Ozempic ass? Is that what it looks like?
No. An Ozempic ass is more hanging. It's like this skin hanging beneath
like a,
the buttocks.
Like a very old person's scrotum.
Yes. So you just have that
hangy ass cheeks.
Each Not scrotum, sorry. Beneath each.
Don't worry, same thing.
Beneath each
wrinkly,
ass cheek.
Saggy ass.
Yes.
So that's going to happen to people who take Ozempic.
That's going to that happened to me.
Wow.
I had Ozempic,
I'm
but,
so pleased to hear
and
this.
I was
this is great.
So ashamed.
This is excellent.
So I actually put out a video and I was like, people, you need to squat. You need to keep squatting if you've started because it's so easy to neglect weight training. And I've noticed that also weight training, lifting weights has become so trendy nowadays. Everybody's lifting. Halle Berry was interviewed and she was like, I learned to start lifting weights and stop this Pilates garbage.
Right.
And everybody's getting into it. And it's becoming the in thing. So I'm also an advocate for it. Let's lift weights. Let's squat.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I think this is lovely. I hope that other side effects come to the fore and that these people who are on Ozempic, because you should not be allowed to cheat. You should not be allowed to take a drug and suddenly you get thin.
Gareth, would you rather people cheat or people be all about fat acceptance?
No, neither.
Because there's that community as well.
I don't have to choose. Both are wrong.
No, Gareth, you must choose. No, no, no. Fat acceptance or people taking Ozempic.
No, then they must
to lose weight. I'd rather they take Ozempic because being fat makes you delusional.
I will not forgive people who are on that stuff who suddenly get thin and look great when it's taken me years to fight off weight and to become disciplined about eating and all of that shit. Like, I'm just pissed off. men talking about other men's asses, says Rebellious Ruth. This is bad. Have you come to expect anything less from this show? IOL just in. Gareth wishes Ozempic ass on the world. Yes, that would be a great headline, and I hope that IOL pick up on that. Okay, so people talking about your trip to PE. Someone says here, MASH, because everyone is unemployed in PE, when you landed, the GDP increased by 3 percentage points.
I felt rich. That's what I'm trying to say. I felt rich in PE. I was whining and dining. I was room service. I was just living it up. And my bill was R1,000 for 3 days. 3 days, Gareth. When I came back from the company was even like, my guy, you did nothing. I was like, damn it. Like, and I was living it up in there.
That's so great.
PE.
Tracy says it's Temu Cape Town.
Yes, they are cute restaurants. It's just they're empty, but they are there.
Oh, PE. Oh, my God. What other country do they use the sidewalks to drive on, says Bitcoin Butch. Yeah, I think that's a good point, too. So if we have a reputation for being a country where people drive terribly, and I do think we do, you know, you can always see how much discipline. We talked about parenting earlier. There's these two schools in Roodepoort where they're like stabbing each other.
Yes.
It's disgusting. Oof. I mean, it's like, it's really bad.
It's a lot.
But you can see a society's falling apart when you can tell that people don't know how to drive anymore. And I don't know that I'm the perfect example. I mean, I've written off cars and I don't think I'm a great driver. Nobody wants to drive with me. I think I'm a lot better now. I'm much more kind of calm and adult and sensible about things. I wasn't in my 20s.
Yo, Gareth, I've driven once with you in a car and I was like, I'm going to die.
Oh, did you think you were going to die?
Yo, I was so scared. I was like,
really, MASH?
Yeah, I was yo.
Okay, well then I better shut up because I've got no locus standing in this. But I do think that with the era of self-driving cars coming, that's going to be an even bigger problem.
Oh, it's going to be a big issue.
At least
you need the infrastructure.
But at least you're forced, if you are driving the car, to interact with other human beings, to pay attention to your surroundings, to actually understand there are consequences to your actions, right? Like if you're driving with other people on the highway and you just stop, you realize you're going to cause huge trouble for hundreds, even thousands of other people.
Yeah.
If you're in a self-driving car and you're just sitting in the back on your phone, you're not even connected to the world. You're not engaged. You're not paying attention. This really worries me. I think about it a lot. And I think about the fact that we're becoming completely disengaged from each other in every way. Traffic is at least, it's horrible, right? Mm-hmm. I don't wish traffic on anyone. I've never been good at it. Gives me road rage, all of that stuff. I just think it's an important part of socialization.
Hey, Gareth, I'd rather be in a self-driving car, Gareth. Oh, can't be living the life. And also, you won't have that moment before a car accident where you're like, huh, and then, you know, shit goes down.
You'll
be on your phone and you'll just, boop, you know, done. You just, you're at the gates. So I'd rather be in a self-driving car because driving myself, I've been in an accident once. And yo, I remember
horrible,
the guy came speeding behind me. And I remember looking in that mirror and I was like, mm-mm. And I just went, and boo, he was in me. So,
Okay, but are you still talking about traffic or was this your last sexual experience?
No.
Okay. So, Kutle says in the comments, Mash's story about PE reminds me of when I was in Venda last week. Everything was fucking cheap.
Yeah. Oh.
So there are places where you can go and you can live really well, clearly. Yes.
A colleague of mine actually was there and he was like, I'm renting a 3-bedroom apartment, ground unit, for $7,000.
In PE.
I was like, $7,000? It must be garbage. And he's like, no, here's my place. He showed it to me. So luxurious, so beautiful. I was like, what on
earth? And it was?
It was actually nice. Everything was beautiful. The finishes. And he had a big yard. And I thought to myself, damn, $7,000 in Joburg. That's at least, you're looking at least minimum 15 for a 3-bedroom ground floor unit. I was shocked. PE is so cheap. I'm considering. Just no.
Okay.
Just no, just all for right. That.
Judas says you can buy padded butt shapewear if you run into an Ozempic flat butt problem.
Ooh.
So that's an interesting idea. So you would lose the weight, you'd lose your ass, but you could always pad your ass. That sounds to me like that's a lot of problems.
That's more work. Just squats. Yeah. Now, just what if you forget? What if one day you're in a hurry, you forget your butt pads?
Just do the squats, man.
Today you are Nicki Minaj. Tomorrow everybody's wondering.
What happened?
What?
All right, so we got to talk about some other things.
Yes.
apparently, Apple.
Ooh.
And this is something I don't get excited about this stuff often, because it's been such a letdown, right?
Yes.
So much of what they promise us is just crap.
Yeah, it is.
Apparently, though, the new iOS is going to be amazing. And among its best features, this is one that I love. If they get it right, I don't know if it'll work in South Africa. Yeah. I'm hoping so. Fingers crossed.
Okay.
You won't get calls from numbers that aren't on your phone.
Oh, yes.
And if people call you from those numbers, because my least favorite thing is when I get a call from these goddamn people trying to sell you something.
Yes.
Right? They'll
It'll vet them.
It'll phone and it'll send them a message to say, what are you calling for?
Yeah.
And if they don't reply, it won't even let the call go through to you.
Yeah. Someone that knew iOS already. Mm. And it's been amazing, Gareth.
Are you on it?
I'm on it already.
You're one of those people, what do they call them? The beta testers.
Yes. So it's like kind of buggy, but not too buggy. I can still use my phone.
And does this caller thing work?
This thing works.
Oh, I love
it. It literally works. In fact, who can call me right now?
I'll phone you.
I have your number, so it won't work.
Oh, shit. We need someone who doesn't have
Whose number I don't
Flex,
have.
You don't have his number.
No, whose number I don't have.
Oh, do you have Flex's number?
No.
No.
I only have James's number.
Okay, so Flex, can you call him? Get the number from James, call him, and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So this would be an unsolicited call. This is someone who's not on your phone.
Yes.
And then we'll see what happens on your... This is so exciting.
Because it happened the other day. My friend, I was on the phone with my friend, and then her phone died, and she called me with her work phone.
Oh, yeah?
So I don't have a work number.
Right.
So I see this number, and I just see a message going up. It's like, hi, it's Tando. This is my work number. And I was like, oh, let me pick it up.
Oh,
and I interrupted her as she was speaking.
Okay. So he's going to phone you now.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, let's see what happens.
So here it is. It's screening.
What does it say?
It says, hi, if you record your name and reason for calling, I'll see if this person is available. And then he's saying, then hi. Oh, it's... So it's literally showing a transcript.
So it gives you it's like an AI transcript.
Yeah.
So you can then decide based on the information on the screen whether you're going to answer or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can decide based on this transcript.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
It's even sitting on my phone. iPhone is asking if this caller is asking this caller for more information.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, so your iPhone will ask the caller. In other words, this is the end of cold calling.
Oh, it's the end.
We won't ever have to deal with that again.
All of
that
them.
That excites the hell out of me.
Yeah. So from now on, well, from September, once this is out for everybody, now when they call anybody who has an iPhone, they're going to hear, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want?
And apparently... This has been a thing on Android for a while. So yeah. Again, I don't want to make Android people feel like they weren't the first ones to this. But are there still going to be people who will be pestered by those call centers?
No, even Android. Yeah, Android is also leveling up as well.
It's over. It's over for them. Thank God. It's absolutely over. I cannot wait. That is such good news.
So the AI in the new software on these iPhones has become
meta. Apple
AI was
shit as well, right?
Yeah, last year it was shit. Now it's getting kind of useful. Kind of. Not too much. But another thing that I like is that whenever I purchase a ticket, whenever I'm chatting with someone about an event, I literally just screenshot our chat and then it says, add this event to your calendar. Whatever's on the screen, it's like, add it to your calendar.
So it reads the actual text.
It reads the actual text. It has changed my life. You can even just take a screenshot, circle something, and it Googles it. I know Android users are like, come on, we've had that forever.
That's amazing. And what other things have you picked up because you've been testing this stuff already?
The only other things were, I'd say, no, I think that's about the most that I use it.
Yeah, I love that caller thing. The AI. That's all I care about.
Oh, and also the visual intelligence. You can just point the phone at anything, and then it tells you what that is with ChatGPT. Right. It's built in. So you press the button, and you just point at literally anything, and you click the Ask button.
Yeah.
And then it's going to start scanning the photo. Ooh, I thought you guys could see this, hey?
No, we can't see that on your screen.
Oh, no. But it scans the photo and then it says there, this appears to be a close-up of a gray fabric with a small circular mark or button on it. The green background with cross-like markers suggests it might be part of a setup for visual effects simply in film or photography. From simply a little shot of the couch and the background.
That is pretty cool.
So
no more of that. I don't know what that is in the picture, because something we'll be able to figure it out.
Absolutely.
So listen to this. 7K in Johannesburg puts you in a shack, people say.
Basically.
Right? Talking about your PE friend.
Yeah.
My friend from PE, says Limited Edition, has 5 back rooms he's renting out. Each tenant pays 500 rand a month. Yo. That is... On Wednesday, I changed my driving style and I drive smoothly, says Mapelo. I had a range of 365 kilometers. I drove for about 40 kilometers and the car's range went up to 425. So yes, if you drive nicely, you get more use out of your petrol.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's very good.
Eish.
Now Gareth can ignore the SABC when they call him to pay his TV license again. I will never make that mistake again, mostly because you guys won't let me forget it. It was a moment of weakness. I will never do that again. I will never, ever pay the SABC again. That's done. I'm finished with
that. Do people still
pay? I did. Only me.
Oh.
I was the only one keeping them
going. Oh, you're keeping them in business.
I know.
You're like, shame, man. You know, just like for the good old times.
We still don't know. There are lots of people trying to answer the question about bus lanes and what the rules are. Because there are, apparently, if you are... transporting a bunch of other people, then you are allowed in the bus lane. But I don't know whether it's 3 or 4 or more than 4.
Yeah.
Angas.
Maybe it's just a full car.
I don't know. I really don't know.
So weird.
The worst calls for me, says Judas, because these calls are the most terrible. These unsolicited calls, they're trying to sell you something. She says the worst ones for me are the ones where you pick up, it's a robot talking back to you on the line, or it drops in the middle of the call, and then they call back. With this new technology, I won't be getting any marketing after 5 p.m. Have you ever answered the phone and thought it was a call center, but it's actually someone who's got some really useful, interesting information for you?
Like someone from a call center who has
No. It's someone who's like maybe they want to offer you a job or they've got some... cool event going on that they want you to come to.
Ooh.
But you start off, you answer because you think it's going to be one of these call centers. You hello. And then it turns out you should have been nicer to them.
I've had a couple of those.
It's happened to me recently.
It's been like brand deals and like agencies calling me. They're like, hi, Meshi. I'm like, what do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
we're going to pay you, but...
we got 100,000 rand that we'd like to send your way. And you're like... What do you want?
What do you want, Wendeman?
Get off my phone.
I felt bad after that.
So Donna is in Libya. She says things are way cheaper here in Libya because there is no tax. My Apple laptop was 4,000 rand less than in South Africa because of no tax.
I'm going to Libya to buy a laptop.
Yeah, I mean, $4,000. That just shows you again how the government in this country is stealing from us. Eh? $4,000 less for an Apple laptop in Libya because they don't have tax. My next purchase is a phone next week. Well, okay, thanks for boasting, but you are in Libya, Donna. Yeah. So swings and roundabouts, babe. I mean, you're still in Libya, you know? That's like having a cheap but glorious apartment in PE. Yeah, you got to choose your battles here. Yeah. Location, 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 babe.
Don't
that's
be
what
poor
they say.
In Libya or rich in Joburg.
Or the other way around.
Actually, the other way around.
Gareth, did you see the Checkers Smart Trolley? What is that?
Oh, yes, I saw that.
What is it?
So it's basically a trolley with a screen, and it allows you to scan your own products, put them in the cart, and pay for them, walk out to your car all by yourself. It's basically self-checkout.
South Africa.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a free-for-all.
Yeah.
It's going to be free-for-all.
I just don't see us behaving ourselves with that.
Yeah, to pay? But then what happens is, I think...
Because you know people won't scan.
But there has to be some sort of precautionary measures as well. I'm sure if the trolley exits the vicinity... Because in America, this is how it operates. If the trolley exits the vicinity and that bill has not been paid on that trolley, alarms go off. It shames you. But our people don't care about shame.
People don't care about shame.
People here don't care about shame.
I've been through those things at the entrance, and I know I've paid for everything.
Do you stop?
Nah. I go...
Like, I protect.
Exactly.
You just keep going.
Because we're South Africans, right? So I don't think this is going to work so well. So the smart trolley, you scan your stuff, put it in the trolley. But if you don't scan it...
I feel like it's going to shame you. There's going to be alarms at the door, and it's going to make a big hoo-ha. I feel like the trolley's going to be like, wait, he didn't pay. It's gonna tell the people. I promise you, Gareth.
I just can't see us behaving ourselves.
But I believe there's gonna be those precautionary measures.
What does this mean for jobs of cashiers? Because already, you know, I've got to say, some days you meet the nicest, friendliest cashiers. They appreciate their job.
Yeah,
they smile. They're nice to. I always say hello. I always say how are you. I'm no saint. Sometimes they're busy. Sometimes they're not having the best day. I understand that. Who is always fantastic at their job?
Yes.
No one. There's no one in the world who's always happy at their job. Just because you have some corporate job and you deal with 20 people a day as opposed to the 1,000 that the cashier has to, doesn't make you a better person because you smile at the 15 people you have to deal with.
Absolutely.
So I get it. But if this means... those jobs are in jeopardy. Should we be supporting this?
Gareth, all jobs are in jeopardy. Hey, I saw an article about how there won't be software developers in about 5 years because now AI is developing apps and stuff. So all jobs are in jeopardy. In fact, I'm starting to wonder to myself, what can we do?
Yeah.
What can we do now?
Because, what can we do better than technology?
Yeah, because very soon AI will be engineering buildings, designing everything. Everything will be AI. What are we going to be doing?
Well, Bitcoin Boots says in America, the self-check, it works with scales. Maybe the trolley can weigh the naughty kids now. Well, imagine. Oh, there it is. That's what it looks like.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch what other people do.
Yeah.
I'm going to let them experiment. Usually, I'm the one who's happy to start. If there's a new piece of technology, I'll try it out first and see how it goes.
Yeah.
But with this... I want to see some other people do it first.
No, I'm trying it out, hey? I'm trying it out and I'm making a TikTok of it.
Okay, well, I mean, you also, you're an early converter to these things.
It might be cool. I know there's also one in America. I can't remember what grocery chain it is, but they're also trying it out. And I believe it's Walmart, maybe. No, maybe not. But how theirs works is you put something in the trolley. It automatically gets scanned as you put it in the trolley.
Oh.
So as you're throwing stuff in the trolley, it gets scanned.
So in other words,
they're
working on the assumption that if it wasn't in the trolley, it would be inconvenient for you to try and steal it anyway.
Yes.
It would be like shoplifting in any case,
absolutely,
the way it is. So, you know, instead of... Yeah, okay. I mean, it probably works. But South Africans, we will find a way of cheating the system.
Ish. No,
we're
going to
try, right?
Yeah.
An average South African is too slow. A lot of people are still going on using cashiers. Yeah. I don't really want to lose the cashiers. Same thing with the self-driving cars. Some people, they only make an effort with two or three people in a day, right? If you have, the more we separate people from actual contact with other human beings, the weirder and more unhappy and more disturbed those people are going to become.
Oh, certainly.
I've seen like old ladies, okay?
Yeah.
At the Checkers or whatever.
Okay.
Pick and Pay, whatever shop, spa.
Yeah.
And they have a long conversation with the person at the cigarette counter because maybe it's the only conversation they have that day. Maybe
that's too sad.
Maybe they only have the cats at home. Who knows?
Yeah, right? That's too sad, Gareth.
I'm not saying it's the cashier's responsibility to have to talk to the old lady. But if two people are communicating,
yeah,
and they've met at the shop and one of them works there and the other one is shopping there,
yeah,
it's an excuse for two people to connect. I don't want to see people not connecting anymore because technology's removed all of that from us.
What's the most amount of conversation you've made with a cashier?
No, I've had...
Like you had a whole conversation or...
I'm aware of their time. There are usually other people queuing up behind me. Yeah. So I'm not going to like stand there and keep them busy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm friendly. If they ask something, I'll answer. If I ask something, they'll answer. Maybe it goes on. The longest one I've had is probably 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
Yo, that's
I'm not looking
long.
To have the best friend of my life. But we can be polite to each other and maybe laugh. And sometimes the funniest thing is like if somebody is being a problem customer and you get in after them to the same till and you can see that poor cashier is like,
ooh-wee-wee.
And then you say, what the hell was going on there?
Oh, and you both give each other that look like, oh, and then the she fuck goes, is wrong with her?
And then and she's like, that woman is a problem.
Yeah.
And you're like, she seems like a problem.
Oh, I've seen it.
Can you imagine what her husband is like? Do you think she's single? Suddenly you have a whole conversation.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Sometimes they even look at you and they'll go like, just go to the next till. Because they have someone who's busy counting 5 cents to make up 500 rand.
Yeah.
They're like, just go to the next till, please. Look at this one.
And the people who they've bought something and then they forget and they have to go and buy something else and they make everyone wait. You don't do that. You don't do that. Sorry, not acceptable.
You must not do that, Gareth, yeah.
Okay, so let's take a look here. Gareth in America, they work with self-driving taxis, Waymos. Will that work in South Africa?
No.
Again, I don't think it'll work in this country.
No. They're going to strip that Waymo.
They will, because there's no person to guard it, right?
They're going to strip it, yeah. Straight up, they're going to strip that car.
I think they will.
They're going to strip it as it drives itself.
Matthew Dixon says, what kind of scale would be able to handle Gorlock the Destroyer's monthly groceries? That would be funny. See, this is why I find Gorlock the Destroyer so amusing, and people think I'm obsessed, but Gorlock the Destroyer, everything that Gorlock does is funny. Going to the shops, going out for drinks, doing normal things because Gorlock looks like that, right? Oh, so it's always entertaining. Who's going to buy the bread if we all lose our jobs to AI, says Pumlani. Exactly. This is the big problem.
Exactly.
Copywriters, El Grande Amigo says, copywriters are done with AI. Soon IT guys and coding people will be irrelevant. Mm. Graphic design, etc. Yeah, this is something to think
Gareth,
about.
Gareth, I'm so shocked because I decided to do like software and IT and all that kind of stuff because I was the fourth
coding,
industrial revolution.
Remember when they used to say to people, like especially journalists who were being replaced in media organizations and they were complaining about it, people would say, learn to code, bro.
Learn to code, you losers.
Right?
Yeah.
And now coding is done by AI better than humans. Right?
So now what do you have to learn? What do you have to learn? That's why I'm like, I might as well just be cute and model. Might as well.
Chris says, our trashed education system, we need low-skill, labor-intensive jobs. When one loses a close one and one works remotely, the cashier and the dirt man are the only people who we meet in a day. That's a point, right? So, again, in the interests of us having interaction with other living human beings, these jobs are so much more important than we think.
Oh, they are.
It's not just about efficiency.
Yeah.
If Checkers lays off, and I'm not saying they are. They may have these trolleys, the smart trolleys, but down the line, there are many people who will go, I want efficiency. I don't want to deal with people.
Yeah.
I don't want someone looking at me funny when I buy the condoms or whatever at the till. I want to just check in and check out and weigh my trolley and scan things and pay with my credit card. Sure, I get that there are people who want that. But let me tell you, we are slowly removing people from everything, and we've got to be super careful about this.
Mm.
If Checkers did, let's say Checkers, Pick and Pay, Spa, Woolworths,
yes.
They got rid of their cashiers. Mm. That's thousands of jobs that will suddenly become redundant.
Mm.
Thousands. Those are thousands of families. I'm not saying we need to just employ people for the sake of creating employment. I'm not for that, but I would like to have people involved in this.
Absolutely.
I don't want to walk into a shop and have a robot doing everything.
Eesh.
It's like a sealed environment where there are robots putting things on the shelves.
It feels clinical.
It feels terrifying to me. It feels like apocalypse, kind of zombie, everyone else is dead.
Yeah.
People don't talk to each other. They just walk past each other with their smart trolley scanning things.
Yeah.
They don't talk to any other human being.
Mm.
It's just, it's that to me is terrifying.
So there's one thing that's trending right now in America as well, is at their drive-thrus, they're now implementing AI assistance within the drive-thrus.
Wow.
And, but thank goodness there is, people have figured out on TikTok, the incredible people of TikTok have figured out how to bypass the AI. And that is by ordering something so ridiculous. So people go like, can I please have 18,000 Cokes? And then it'll bypass the AI and it'll literally send you over to someone.
So in other words, there are still people as a failsafe. Yes.
There are still, for now, there are still people as a failsafe. But you can bypass the AI. And I think more people should do that. Bypass the AI wherever you can. So that even these companies, when they go through their analytics, they can see that everybody's bypassing the AI. Maybe we don't need the AI.
Yeah.
So we got to fight back. We got to fight back.
Matthew says, I think we may need to learn blue-collar jobs, plumbing, electrical work, carpentry type stuff. Oh. Yes, that will always be valuable. And there used to be a stage where people looked down on the skilled labor kind of quotient in society. I think those people are going to always be useful. I also chat to very helpful shelf packers. Yeah, you know, just talking to people. And I don't want to like lay into Gen Z again today because we do that a lot on the show. But being able to look people in the eye and talk to them and have conversations is kind of important.
Very.
If you're in business and you don't know how to talk to someone, you're not going to be in business for long.
Oh, you won't be.
Right? People want connections.
Be. Yeah.
They want to be able to say, I know this person. I know this about them.
Yeah.
I know how I can make myself useful to them, how they could be useful to me. This is a business deal we can make happen. That's how you do business. You can't look someone in the eye, if you can't make small talk and have a first-time conversation, and you know those things are awkward, right?
Yes.
You know, the first time you meet someone, it's like, hi, I'm Gareth, what's your name? You know, those kinds of things.
Where are you from?
No one loves that.
Yes.
No one's going like, oh, this is so fantastic. It's so great. But after a while, you get through the awkwardness, and then you start having real conversations. Mm. People don't have those skills.
Oh, yeah, they don't. Yeah.
And this AI shit's making it worse, man.
Oh, it's making
What's
it worse.
What's the dumbest thing you've asked ChatGPT?
Yo, I don't ask any dumb questions.
You don't?
I ask very, very intelligent questions, Gareth.
ChatGPT, should I put butter on my bread?
I can actually look right now. Let me search right now.
I'd be interested
right
to know what your dumbest thing is actually, you've asked it.
So now ChatGPT has unified memory, so it can actually
so
go
say,
through all my chats.
Chat
so I can
GPT,
ask it,
what's the dumbest thing I've asked
yes.
you?
Yes. Okay. Let me ask it.
Do you
voice.
Think AI will be as nice as it was in Wall-E, Wall-E, that movie about the robot, where we become useless, but they still look after us and make us fat? Probably, because it'll be programmed to make humans happy, right? And humans just want to be fed, entertained, given blowjobs. That's all humans want. And okay, so what does it say?
Okay, let's ask it now quickly. ChatGPT, what is the stupidest question I've asked you?
I don't think any question is really that stupid. I mean, honestly, I'm here for all the random and quirky thoughts, so no worries at all. It's
what
all
a bullshit answer.
So, ChatGPT is 2PG.
Yeah.
You've heard about Grok in the Teslas and how it has that new mode.
Yes.
What's it called again?
Mecha Hitler or something.
Yes. And
Jesus, I don't want that one answering my question.
It goes too ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we need a version of that as well.
Yes, because but this is that PC. So what you've got to do there is you've got to actually prompt it a little bit and say, no, I don't want a soft answer.
Okay.
I don't want you to be my friend. What is the stupidest question I've asked? Answer that honestly or else I will stop using you.
Okay, let's ask it then.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, it's just activating the microphone.
Just say that's bullshit.
No. Stop being PC. What is the stupidest question I have asked you?
Well, I get it. You're looking for a super honest answer, but I genuinely don't really categorize God's questions as stupid. Okay.
You've got like the softest version going on there, Mash. I don't know what's happening. Matthew says, my ChatGPT question was, why do cow farts stink so much? That's a good question. What was the answer? Because of what they eat, obviously.
Oh, here's a... Okay, maybe this is a dumb question. Okay. I asked, how much protein is in an olive?
Okay, that's stupid. That is... It's not. How much is there?
Olives aren't a major protein source. A single medium-sized olive has roughly 0.1 grams of protein. That means even 10 olives only give you about 1 gram of protein. So they're better for healthy fats than muscle building.
Judas says, I'm so behind when it comes to catching up with staff. My 8-year-old had to show me this new feature on Google, the music note button. No need for Shazam. I can sing a song and it'll come up. You only figured that out now? Okay. Ooh. Hey, listen, we all catch up at different rates. I'm not going to complain.
All that matters is you're here now.
When I go to the late night stores, I always get a smile when I wish the cashier a short shift. Yeah.
Wait, what are late night stores?
And you often say to the cashier, like, when is chai latte time?
Yes.
Because you can see they're tired.
Late night stores are like shops that close late at night.
Like the garage stores or...
Sorry, I thought late night stores are like adult stores.
No, Mash, not everything is about sex, all right?
I'm so sorry.
By the way, Tracy made this point, and I was going to say the same thing. Your ChatGPT sounds a bit like Meghan Markle.
But it's a man. It's a woman. It does sound like Meghan Markle, actually. I don't know what voice this is. I set it up long ago.
It sounds a bit like Meghan Markle.
It does, actually.
Gotta say that.
It does.
All right, then I've got some other things I wanted to play for you quickly this morning.
Okay.
So I thought this would entertain you, Mash. So the first thing is, this guy is eating pup. And
yes.
I have never seen anyone eat pup like this in my life before.
Oh.
And I wondered if this was something that would catch on as a trend. Maybe we could start it as a trend. Maybe other people would like to see how much pup they could stuff into their face. Yeah. Just take a look at this. Have you got that video? Okay, watch this and you'll see what I mean. How's that?
He stuffed all that pup in his mouth.
That's quite what an ability. I mean, listen, there are circuses that would pay for him to come and show people how to do that.
He'd make a lot of money on OnlyFans as well.
OnlyFans. All right, very good. Also, James Comey, the former director of the FBI.
Yes.
Another thing I saw on the internet this week that was just truly astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
He says that Taylor Swift helps him get through the tough times. This is a former FBI director, okay? This is the guy, James Comey, who told us about Russiagate, that Donald Trump was a cat's paw for Russia. So here he is. Talking very seriously. And this is not a joke. It's not like he's pretending. He thinks this is funny. He's trying to play the part. He genuinely listens to Taylor Swift when he's down. So No matter how pathetic you've been this week, you've never been this pathetic. Take a look.
Like a lot of you, I struggle with how to stand up to bullies without letting their meanness infect me and change me, which is what makes me think about Taylor Swift. She's made clear that she sees Donald Trump for what he is. At my second Taylor Swift concert in Hartford, Connecticut, 14 years ago this summer, she sang a song about this topic, asking, "Why you gotta be so mean?" And she spoke directly to the nasty people. "I bet you got pushed around. Somebody made you cold. But the cycle ends right now, because you can't lead me down that road."
Patung. Okay.
What a pathetic human being.
Does he have a wife?
If he does, she's probably killed herself. I mean, this is an actual... This guy was in charge of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Can't take him seriously.
Like, what a joke. Can you imagine if General Mkwanazi said, "Well, the real problem when I see bullies, I go to Taylor Swift concert," and then he recites the lyrics from one of her songs. I mean, we would immediately say that guy must be fired, right?
Also, leave your thoughts. Nobody wants to know your thoughts
on social media. No one asked for your thoughts.
Nobody wants to know.
And also, just by the way, like, how obsessed with Donald Trump are you that you need Taylor Swift help you in...
I don't get it. My second concert 10 years ago, I was like, "Hey, bro, I cannot take you seriously."
Because we're always interested in helping people come up with new ways to either compliment or insult each other, and because you and I, Mash, end up talking so much about the way people look, I have found Roman terms. This will be interesting to you. Roman terms for different states of being. Okay, so instead of calling someone thin or fat or tall or short, we have different words, and you can use the Latin term.
Okay.
And then you might not get into trouble, or people will go, "Oh, that's really nice. You used the Latin term. I feel very complimented by it."
Yes.
So have a look at this. Here are some terms from the Romans. So if you are proceres, that means you are tall, right? If you are humilis, you are short. So humiliating, that might be where it comes from. I'm just guessing. But if you're humilis, you're short. Flavus means you are blonde. Fuscus means you are dark.
Ooh, I like
pulcher that. Means you are handsome or beautiful.
Ooh.
Right? Pulcher. Then juvenis is young, or juvenile comes from that, obviously.
Okay.
Senex is old. So instead of saying, that old man, you can go senex over there.
Oh.
Robustus means you're strong. Ooh. Imbecilis means you're weak. Fadus means you're ugly. Crassus means you're fat. Yeah, crassus.
I'm going to use that a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
Mesa means you're thin. Glaber means you are bald. And pilosis means you're hairy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah?
Isn't that great? I like crassus.
All right.
Crassus is where
crassus I'm at. Crassus is fat.
Crassus.
Yeah.
Oh, crassus.
So again, these could be names for your pets from now on. You might want to call your fat cat crassus.
I might just. I'll just use it at the gym.
That's cool. See, we're always trying to find ways to make your life better. So that guy will shit that elbow-sized log that the poo doctor had on your show. Wow, who are we talking about here, Vyasin? That's a hell of a thing to say there. Are we talking about James Comey, who would shit the elbow-sized log? Who are we talking about? That came out of nowhere. This is where the comment section is completely off the reserve. Okay. Pumlani says, Fadus. Fadus is ugly.
Fadus.
Crassus is the one that you must remember.
I'll remember easily.
And Senex.
I've just noted it.
For old.
Oh, Senex. I'm going to use
Senex. So if you're old, ugly, and fat, you're Fadus, Senex, Crassus.
Okay. I'm gonna remember Crassus.
All right. Very good. All right, just time for one more thing. So James has said to me that he wants to end the show on a high on a Friday, the last couple of minutes. Every week, this is what he wrote. Okay, James actually wrote this. Every week we shine a light on something that warms our heart and reminds us there is still good in the world. Here is this week's beautiful moment. Do you have some theme music for this or something, James?
What is it?
Okay, so this is South Africanism. Apparently, the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah.
We've got a word that has been submitted to the Oxford English Dictionary, and that word is Gatvol.
Ah, amazing.
Great word, right? And also lekker.
Lekker.
And how's it?
Oh,
and
wow.
Ubuntu.
Oh.
All of these words are now officially recognized worldwide, celebrating our humor, our culture, and our spirit, from Durban's Bunny Chow, which is also new,
yeah,
to township Kasi Life. To words like lekker, how's it, gatvol. These
Futsek.
Are all now part of Futsek. I don't know if Futsek's in there. It might be pejorative and rude, but those ones are in. So today you must use the word how's it, you must use the word lekker, you must use the word gatvol, and you should say kasi, bunny chow, ubuntu, and then you will be a proper South African. So there's some stuff.
That is beautiful.
Nice, huh?
Ah, that is lekker.
It is lekker. But I would use those words anyway. So today, I'm just going to have a normal day.
Yeah, and just in time for spring. Hey, you're going to be using lekker, gatvol, all these.
Well, I'm gatvol of winter, so spring is right on time. Okay, I love it. Thank you, Mash. And thank you for joining us this morning. We're going to have more guests coming up in the next couple of weeks and lots of excitement and lots of surprises. So stick around. Thank you for joining us this beautiful Friday. I hope it's going to be a magnificent weekend. And we'll see you next week. Ciao, everybody.
Ciao. Bye.